Matthew 14. Would you say that America is in a fearful state? I think it is. There's a lot of people that are walking around in extreme fear. They're fearful over a lot of things, but right now, the latest thing, of course, is the virus. There's so many people are afraid of the virus. They're afraid of catching the virus, getting the virus. There are people that are in stores today that if they see somebody without a mask, they go berserk. There was somebody in Walmart the other day yelling and screaming at somebody because they didn't have a mask on, and the guy was saying, "Look, this is my prerogative. If I want to wear it, I'm gonna wear it. If I don't want to wear it, I don't want to wear it." Most places you see people with masks on. We may have to get to the point here in this church that you may have to wear a mask coming in and may have to wear a mask going out. I don't know how things are going to go, but I've told you have a mask with you just in case. We have still some extra ones back there. I just don't want anybody to blame us for anything. You understand that, right? But there's a lot of fear going on today. And what I want to bring a message tonight on, the title of the message is Lord, Save Me. Three words, Lord, Save Me. That was Peter's prayer when he was sinking, when he was going under, when he was going down in the Sea of Galilee. I don't know if there's a subtitle to this. It's when fear is with you, so is Jesus. When fear is with you, so is Jesus. Remember that. We're going to look at a passage of Scripture here today and tonight in Matthew 14 that really shows this, that the Lord was with those disciples. I wasn't going to have you sit. Bob said to sit. You sat. Now I'm going to ask you to stand. Circulation in the legs. Keep those legs moving, right? Matthew 14, starting in verse 22, reading down to the end of the chapter. Matthew 14, verse 22. Everybody there? Amen. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. Remember, he had just fed over 5,000 people. 5,000 men, the Bible says, plus women and children. So the feeding of the 5,000 was just ended. Jesus is telling the disciples, you go down there and get into that ship. Go down there and get in your boat, Peter. You guys go ahead before me. I'm going to dismiss the crowds. And that's what he did. He was dismissing the crowds. What he was doing exactly, we don't know. I believe he was going in and out, talking to them. Maybe he was healing some people. Maybe he was helping some people. Maybe he was preaching to the people. Maybe he was saving some people. But he told the disciples, you go down, you get in the ship, and you go before me. And then he was releasing or sending the multitudes away. And there was a lot of people there. Remember, there's probably 10, 15, 20,000, 25,000 people there. So Jesus took care of that while he sent the disciples away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. And when they were gone over, they came into the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out into all the country round about and brought unto him all that were diseased and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched were made perfectly whole. Let's pray. Father, thank you that we could gather together tonight. Thank you, Lord, for these people that have come out. I pray that you bless the message. Thank you, Lord. We've already been blessed with the singing. And so, Lord, we pray that you would work and move upon each and every one of our hearts and souls. Be with us that are here in church tonight. Be with those that are listening, outside of these walls. We pray that you would bless them. And, Lord, we pray that needs would be met. Lord, I'm so grateful and thankful that even in a time of fear, we can come to you and know that you're there with us. And so, Lord, bless us and be with us tonight. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So this is a very familiar story. Jesus, of course, walking on the water, coming to the disciples, and Peter getting out of the ship, and he walks on the water also for a short amount of time or however long he was out there. And then, of course, he gets his eyes off from Christ. He looks around at the storm, and he starts to go under. And, of course, he says those famous words, "Lord, save me." Three words, a three-word prayer, and Jesus answered the prayer. There's a lot of prayers in the Bible. I've never gone through and counted them all up and figured them all out, but I've gone through and seen a few, and I've actually added up some of the words of some of these prayers. Solomon's prayer was 1,051 words. He had a long prayer. Nehemiah's prayer was 1,173 words that Nehemiah prayed. The Lord's Prayer in John 17 is 623 words. That's the Lord's Prayer in John 17, not the other prayer that so many people think that it's the Lord's Prayer. 623 words. The thief dying with Jesus, his prayer was 9 words. The sinner's prayer in Luke 18 is 7 words. And Peter's prayer is 3 words. Peter didn't have time to say, "Now, Lord, I just thank you for the day. Lord, I'm so thankful for the moon and the sun and the stars. And Lord, I'm thankful." He didn't have time. He had time to say 3 words. "Lord, save me." You ever been in that situation? I have been in that situation several times driving school bus over the last several years. I remember going out 318 heading west with the bus with kids. And I came to the intersection of 414 and 318. And as I was going through the intersection, a large tanker truck was coming at me, and it was a very slippery morning. And all of a sudden, I saw the tanker truck starting to fishtail because he took his foot off the accelerator. He was trying to stop as he was approaching the intersection. And the only thing that I could say was, "Lord, please help." I had kids on the bus, and I saw that thing starting to come towards me. And immediately, that truck stopped fishtailing, and it straightened right out and went right by me. You know what I said when that I got through with that? "Thank you, Lord." Thank you, Lord. I mean, there's times in our life that we're going to come up with a very shortened prayer. And it's good to know that you don't have to have a long prayer to get the attention of God. Some people, they thrive on those long, extended, prayers. And there are times that we spend a lot of good quality time in prayer. But Peter had time to say 3 words. Now, if he had gone into a long, exaggerated prayer, thanking, for everything, he would have gone under. Now, I don't personally really believe that the Lord would have let him drown, but he was going under. He was in fear of the time, that situation that he was in, and he had time to say 3 words, "Lord, save me." There's going to be times in your life that that's all the time you're going to have to say, is, "Lord, help me. Lord, save me. Lord, whatever." But again, there's a lot of fear today. With this virus going on around us, people are fearful to even go out in public. People are fearful to do a lot of things because they're so afraid of this virus that we've heard about. You may have known somebody that has had it, but fear is a natural thing, right? Fear is good. It's good to have some fear. It's good to, not get too close to the edge of the roof if you're roofing, to have a little bit of fear of falling off, right? You're not, you don't play with things that, it's a good thing to have some healthy fear of, let's say, firearms, to know how to handle a firearm correctly. It's good to have certain kinds of fear when you're driving a vehicle to make sure that you stay on the road, you stay alert and attentive as to what you're doing. So fear is a natural thing. Some of us have fears. I have a fear of snakes. I don't like snakes. Maybe you don't like snakes. TJ hates spiders. He's a big baby. You know, some people, they have a fear of spiders, and people have a fear of liberals and a fear of all kinds of stuff. But some fear is good. Webster says this about fear. It's a feeling of agitation and anxiety caused by the presence or imminence of danger. That's what fear is. It's, you know that there's danger lurking on the horizon. You just don't know when it's going to attack. And so some fear is, again, some fear is good. But when we're going through some times of fear, it's good to know that Jesus is with us. That's the message that I want to bring here tonight. Go back to verse 22, Matthew 14:22. We're going to look at some verses here out of this passage. The first thing that I wrote down on this is Jesus is there during the tranquility. Do you ever have just tranquil times in your life?
Yes.
Do you have them once in a while? Just times of ease and some calmness and peacefulness. Isn't it nice to have some peaceful times in your life? I know maybe they're few and far between, but it's good to have some peace once in a while and just some tranquility. We see that in verse 22, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into the ship and go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. Again, I really believe that at the start of this voyage, I'm sure that there was a time of tranquility. They didn't see any danger. There was no storm at the time. They got in the ship, and they were probably smooth sailing for a while until that fourth watch. Now, you know that the night is divided, biblically, the night is divided into four watches, 1, 2, 3, 4. Starts at 6 in the evening and goes to 9, the three-hour intervals. And so the first watch is from 6 to 9. The second one is from 9 to 12, and then 12 to 3, and then 3 to 6. They're in their fourth watch just before sunrise. Is when they're out there on the water, on the Sea of Galilee. So the voyage appears that it started out in a tranquil, quiet, calm, peaceful, uneventful time. And so our life at times is calm and peaceful and tranquil and uneventful. Sometimes we have days where nothing grand has happened. We just have a nice, kind of a quiet day. Do you have those once in a while? Just a nice, quiet day? Praise God for those. You know, thank God. If you have a nice quiet day through the day and you're getting ready for bed at night, you say, Lord, thank you for the calm, quiet, tranquil day that we just had. Because we do have some of those, and we need to thank the Lord for those. Now, the Sea of Galilee is a freshwater lake nestled in the hills of northern Israel. Its surface is about 700 feet below the level of the Mediterranean Sea, about 30 miles west of the Mediterranean. The nearby hills of Galilee reach an altitude of 1,500 feet above sea level. To the east of the mountains, to the east are the mountains of Gilead, with the peaks of more than 3,300 feet. To the north are the snow-covered Lebanon mountains. And the Sea of Galilee is fed mainly by the Jordan River, which originates in the foothills of those Lebanon mountains. Specifically, Mount Hermon is the mountain that pretty much feeds the Jordan River, and that's where the Jordan River starts. The Sea of Galilee is 13 miles long, north to south, and it's 8 miles wide, east to west. And because of its location, though, it's subject to those sudden, unexpected, violent storms that will come sweeping over the hills, and there's no warning when they come. That the storms can rise up quickly. They're usually over in a short duration, but they are there. And like I said, life is very much like that. You're going along, things are calm, things are smooth sailing, and then all of a sudden, you get a phone call, you get a message, something happens, something breaks down, and then life changes. The storm is here. And immediately we go into that thing called fear, because we don't know what the outcome is. Right? Sometimes we're there. Maybe it's an operation, like, you know, Kathy's having, or maybe some of you have gone through some serious operations. I know the last time when she had her last heart operation, at first I thought it was kind of it wasn't a big deal, but then I got the message from the nurse saying, now this is a little bit more complicated than the normal AFib operation. This ablation is much more intense, and it got me starting to have a little bit more fear. But what that fear did is it drove me to pray even harder for her. You understand? That's what fear should do. Fear should drive us to God. Fear is to drive us to the Lord, not to chase us away. And so, and again, we pray for people. We're praying for people that have the cancer. We're praying for people that are going into hospitals and going to doctors. But life is like that. We can't. It would be nice if life was just tranquil all the time, but that's not life. Life doesn't operate that way. Only when we get to heaven will we, I think, will we then be able to enjoy an eternity of peacefulness and quietness and tranquility. But until then, we have to deal with the emergencies and things that come our way in life. That's life. That's what we're facing. Again, Jesus, though, is with us. What I love about this passage of Scripture is the Lord sent the disciples away right after the feeding of the 5,000. Did the Lord know that there was a storm coming? Yeah. I believe he did. I believe he had it all under control. He knew exactly what he was going to do. He sent the disciples away, not for them to be in danger, but for him to prove to them that he was going to be with them and help them during that time of fear. And that's what the Lord did. He showed up just at the right time. That's the way our Lord works. He's always there just at the right time. Really, I mean, like I said, there are some fears that are good and natural and right. But most of the time, we don't have to fear. God doesn't give us the spirit of fear because we know that he is with us all the time. You know, 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Amen. Amen? Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. 1 Peter 5:7. Look at Psalm 34:15. Go over to Psalm 34:15. Psalm 34:15. I thought it would be good tonight to bring this message, this Bible study, on this particular subject, in light of what's going on around us, in light of what we sit down and watch any news, the news is extremely fearful. When we see these protests and all of this nonsense that's going on in this country, it can be very fearful. It can be a very fearful time. We have to pray and ask the Lord to help and bless during this time. Psalm 34, look at verse 15. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. Isn't that that's good news. That the Lord is watching and he's listening. He's looking and he's listening. His eyes are open unto their cry. Psalm 142, verses 4 and 5. Psalm 142:4-5. 142nd Psalm, verses 4 and 5. I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. And so David apparently wrote this psalm. He realized when he looked on his right hand and he looked around, there was nobody that cared for him at all. There was nobody that was taking note and trying to help him. But he realized where his refuge was. His refuge was in God. And you might look around and see that nobody cares. Nobody's helping you. Nobody's coming to your aid. Nobody's coming to your rescue. But God is always there. He's always there. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. Matthew 6:26. Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? It's a good question. Aren't you better than the fowls? Aren't you better than the birds? Yes. Yes, of course you are. We are human beings. God cares about us. God cares about you. He will take care of you. Verse 33 of Matthew 6. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So the Lord is with us during those tranquil, peaceful, nice, quiet sit back and relax times. But secondly, Jesus is there during the trouble. We go back to our text there in Matthew 14. Look at verses 24 and 25. 14, 24, and 25. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. In the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. Again, between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m., there's Jesus going to their aid, going to help them. And at first, of course, they didn't know who it was. They thought it was a spirit. They thought it was a ghost. They didn't know who it was. Jesus, of course, had to, you know, speak to them and say, "Hey, it's me. You know, you don't recognize me here." And once they realized that, Peter said, you know, of course, "Hey, but Lord, if it's really you, let me come out and walk on the water." And the Lord said, "Come," and invited him out. He may have said something like, "Hey, come on out, Peter. The water is great," you know, and he did. But Jesus, the Bible says, Jesus went unto them there in verse 25. That's the point I want to make. Jesus is there during the troubled times that we go through. He's there in the tranquil times, but he's also there in the troubled times. So if you're going through some kind of difficulty, you're going through some trouble in your life, and there may be people listening tonight, there may be some people here that are going through some severe troubles, maybe making decisions, maybe it could be through the job, through family, through finances, through health. Everybody goes, you know, through different things, different times of their life, and the Lord is there with you. I know you can't see him, but if you'd open up this book, you'd see him. You'd be able to experience his presence. Of course, when you pray, you know that you experience his presence. He's right there with you. You don't really have a thing to worry about. You have nothing to fear, knowing that the Lord is there. If he went there to help the disciples, do you think he's going to come to help you too? Amen. Amen. Just remember those words there that we see that Jesus went unto them. Jesus comes unto us, and he's there when we need him. So again, Jesus is there during the troubles. There's no need to fear over these things in life. There's no need to fear over something that you have no control over. You can't control it. Don't worry about it. Just say, "Lord, I can't control this. I don't know how we're going to get through this." The Lord says, "That's all right. I got it. Just sit back and let me do it. Let me handle it." Go over to Psalm again. There's a lot of Psalms is just filled with verses that deal with this topic. Psalm the ninth Psalm. Psalm 9. Psalm 9, and look at verse 9. Psalm 9, 9. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed. A refuge in times of what?
Trouble.
A refuge in times of trouble. Psalm 27. 27th Psalm. Five and six. Psalm 27, 5 and 6, "For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord." So when you realize that the Lord is there in your trouble, you can actually have joy and happiness there in verse 6. Knowing that he's there with you, knowing that he's going to help you, knowing that he's there on behalf of you. He's your refuge in times of trouble. Psalm 37. Psalm 37. This is the don't worry, be happy psalm. Don't worry, be happy. Psalm 37. "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb." I think about different people that are causing all kinds of problems in this country and around the world. And there's a great verse for that right there. It just says soon. When will that be? It's soon. Don't worry about it. It'll be soon. Verse 3 says, "Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land. Verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness in as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Fret not over and over and over again. Fret not means don't worry about it. Don't fear about it. Just listen. Let the Lord. You need to trust in the Lord. You need to delight yourself in the Lord. You need to commit your way in the Lord. You need to rest in the Lord. You need to cease from anger. Don't get all mad over situations that happen in your life. So many people do that. They get all mad over a situation. Something breaks and the first thing, they're slamming things around and throwing things around and smacking this and smacking that. And some people get to the point where they're cursing and swearing. Why? Did you know that things are going to break? Things break all the time. Why should we have to get all mad and angry over that? Just trust in the Lord. The Bible says, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Just a pause, that's all. So think about, you know, when you're going through times of trials and tribulations and troubles and you've got fear, think about Psalm 37. That is a tremendous psalm. Go over to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. Second Corinthians, chapter 1. 2 Corinthians, chapter 1, starting in verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in all Achaia, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Where does peace come from? You know, it doesn't come from you. It comes from the Lord. You get peace from God. That's where peace comes from. Verse 3, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all, say it, comfort. The God of all comfort. Verse 4, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. That word consolation is a form of comfort. It's the alleviation of misery. That's what consolation means. It's very similar to comfort. Webster says, again, the alleviation of misery or distress of mind, refreshment of the mind or spirit, a comparative degree of happiness in distress or misfortune. Can you be happy within the confines of your times of trouble? Yeah, you can. Because it's God that brings the peace. It's God that brings the solution. It's Jesus is with us during our times of trouble. And so, let's go back to our text. We'll look at the third thing. Matthew 14. Jesus is there during the tranquil times of our life. Jesus is there during the troubled times of our life. And look at verse 30. Verse 30. Matthew 14, verse 30. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. You know what happened with Peter? He was tempted. He was tempted to look away. He was tempted to look around at the trouble around him. So often that's what we do. We focus on the trouble around us. And we don't focus on Jesus Christ. If he had just kept his eyes upon Christ, he wouldn't have started to sink, I believe. But he started to look around at what was happening around him. So the third thing is Jesus is with us during our temptations. Peter was tempted to look away. He was tempted to look at the problems that was around. He was scared. He was fearful of the storm that he was in. Peter was a seasoned fisherman. He had fished on this sea of Galilee all of his life. I mean, he had a thriving fishing business, apparently. They even named a fish after him. Did you know that? It's called Peter's fish. That's the fish that they serve when you go over there. We had it. It's a great panfish. It's a big panfish. But they named the fish after Peter. That's how popular and famous Peter is around the Sea of Galilee. And yet, what did he do? He took his eyes off the Lord and he started to look at the storm that was going on around him. That's the worst thing that we can do, is stop and get our mind off the Word of God, our mind off from God, our mind off from Christ, the mind off from the blessings of God, and start looking at the boisterous things around us, and the winds and the rains and the storm that's taking place around us. That's the worst thing we can do. But how often do we do that? We do. That's what we do. We focus. We get our minds off from God and His Word, and we start focusing on the trouble that's around us. And that's what Peter did. And so Jesus is there even during the temptation. You will be tempted. Listen, mark this down. You can take it to the bank with you if you want. You will be tempted sometime in your Christian walk to get your eyes off the Lord. You will be tempted to get your eyes off the Lord. You will be tempted possibly to quit church. I said possibly. You will be tempted to stop coming to church. You will be tempted to neglect your Bible reading and prayer. You will be tempted to stop serving the Lord. You will be tempted to stop tithing and giving sacrificially. You will be tempted to do these things. The Lord will help you, and the Lord will help me during these times of temptation. But you've got to trust the Lord. You've got to stop looking at the conditions around you and the circumstances around you and stay focused on one thing. Stay focused on Jesus Christ. Stay focused on the Word of God. He is, of course. Christ is the Word of God. The Lord will help us during these times of temptation, and He will strengthen us. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. You know the verse, maybe. 1 Corinthians 10, 13. 1 Corinthians 10, 13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. I love those words. I've underlined those words. Maybe you have too in your Bible. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. So the Lord is going to help us during our temptations. He's going to be with us during our temptations. Christ was right there in front of Peter when he took his eyes off him. He was right there. He was right there. Didn't he reach down and pick up Peter and pull him up out of the water? He was right. That's how close he was. And yet, what was Peter doing? Getting his eyes off the Lord and looking around at the storm around him instead of just trusting his Savior who was right there. Christ was on top of the water. He wasn't sinking. It was Peter that started to go down. Look at Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians 6, verse 12. Ephesians 6, 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, that means because of that, because of what was just said in the previous verse, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. That word withstand means to resist, able to withstand or resist in the evil day. Are we living in an evil day? Yes, we're living in a very evil day. Of course, it's always been an evil day since sin entered into the world back in Genesis chapter 3. The very next chapter, chapter 4 of Genesis, there's the first murder. And it's been like that ever since. But we can resist. We can withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. There's our key right there. There's our hope right there. is when we're in times of temptation, when we are going through troubles, and troubles will come. That's humanity. That's what we're dealing with in our life. Many of us here, there's some children, of course, and teenagers and young people, but some of us are old fogies up here. There's one right up here. It's an old fogey. We've, you know, been around a long time, and we've seen lots of troubles, and there's been lots of temptations and lots of things that we've gone through in our life. The Lord is with us. The Lord is always with us. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1, 1 Peter 1, verse 6. We've got a lot of scripture tonight. I didn't tell you that. But 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6. 1 Peter 1, 6. 1 Peter 1, 6. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. The Lord is coming one of these days soon. Amen. Looking forward to that, aren't you? I am so looking forward to the Lord straightening out this whole mess, setting up his kingdom here. And I'm looking forward to being part of that. Christ was able to come through his wilderness temptation, wasn't he, in Matthew 4 and Luke 4? Didn't he succeed in his temptation by Satan himself, tried to tempt Jesus Christ? And did the Lord succeed in that? Did he come out on the winning end? Of course he did. He didn't give in to the devil. Thank God for that. We praise the Lord. We can see what the Lord went through. But what was the key of the Lord's success, as he points out in Scripture? The Word of God. So when you're going through times of trouble, the best thing to do is to turn to the Word of God, where we can read about Christ and we can read about how he can help. And we can read about situations like we see here in Matthew chapter 14. So the Lord is with us. He's with us through our tranquility. He's with us during our troubles. He's with us during our temptation. Fourthly, Jesus is there during the tears. Look at verse, back to our text, chapter 14 of Matthew, verses 26 and 30. 26 and 30. Matthew 14, 26. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they what? Cried out. They cried out. Verse 30. This is Peter now. Now, when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." When you cry, you're in a desperate situation. And that's where Peter was. But Jesus is there during our tears. He sees our tears. Listen, go over to Isaiah chapter 38. Isaiah 38. I always love reading about Hezekiah. I just finished reading Hezekiah in 2 Chronicles. And Isaiah, of course, talks about Hezekiah and his prophecy here in Isaiah chapter 38. But look at verse 5, Isaiah 38, verse 5. Hezekiah is literally, he's got a serious problem and he's facing death. He's got a health issue. And in verse 5 it says, "Go and say to Hezekiah, thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer." And what did he see? "I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years. And so Hezekiah literally was crying and begging God for some extra time in his life. And God granted that, because he not only heard Hezekiah, but he saw the tears that Hezekiah was shedding for what he was going through. So Jesus is with us during our times of tears. Jesus is with us when we cry out. He hears. He can listen. He's got better ears than you do. I should say better hearing than you and I do. Look at go over to Mark chapter 9, verse 14. Mark 9, 14. Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9, look at verse 14. When he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed and running to him, saluted him. Just lost my spot here. I glanced off. And he asked the scribes, what question ye with them? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which have a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out. They could not. He answereth him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him. And when he saw him, straightway the spirit tare him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And oftentimes it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with what? Tears. Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him. And he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? And he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting, that's a serious thing. But did you notice that the Lord saw this man's tears? And when he saw the man's tears, and he was crying out, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief, the Lord healed his son and took care of him. So tears matter to God. The Lord is with us during our tears. Thank God that according to Revelation chapter 21, verse 4, someday all of our tears are going to be wiped away. Isn't that a blessing? No more crying, no more pain, no more suffering, no more death, no more sickness. The tears are going to be wiped away someday. And the last thing that we see, first of all, Jesus is with us during our tranquility times. He's with us during our trouble. He's with us during our temptation. Jesus is with us during our tears. And then lastly, look at our text. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Go over to Matthew 28. Matthew 28, verse 20. Jesus is there all the time. He's not just with us during our tranquility time. He's not just with us during our troubles. He's not just with us during our temptation or just with us during our tears. Jesus is with us at all times. In verse 20, it says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen. What does the Bible tell us in Hebrews chapter 13? He will never leave us nor forsake us. Right? He's with us all the time. No matter where you are, the Lord's with you. No matter what you're doing, the Lord's with you. No matter what you're saying, no matter what you're thinking, the Lord is with you. He knows what you're going through. He knows if you are sinking in the Sea of Galilee. He knows exactly what's going on in your life. He will never leave us nor forsake us, Hebrews 13:5. You know, friends come and friends can go, but the Lord will always be with us. The Lord will always be with us. Our loved ones come and go. I mean, how many of us have lost our parents? We've lost our parents. Our parents have died. I've got one living aunt. That's all I have left because I'm getting so old. Grandparents have been gone for years. My parents have been gone for years. Parents come and go, and loved ones come and go, and friends come and go, but Jesus always comes and never goes. He's with us at all times. Praise God for that. Look at Isaiah chapter 41. Isaiah 41, look at verse 10. Isaiah 41:10. Isaiah 41, verse 10. Isaiah 41. Oh, why did I go to Psalms? I'm reading the verse and I'm saying, what's wrong here? You ever do that or just, I'm the only one who does it? Okay. All right. Isaiah, there it is. Isaiah 41, look at verse 10. This is what I want. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. God is with us all the time. God is with us during whatever it is that you're going through. God is with us during the fears, during the good times, the bad times, the good days, the bad days. He's always with us. Go over to Deuteronomy 31. Deuteronomy 31. Deuteronomy 31. Deuteronomy 31, verse 6. Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Do you believe that? Do you believe that verse? I mean, God was trying to instill it into those of Israel and instill it. Moses, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is trying to instill it into the people of God. But that verse is good for us today also. So again, it's something that we need to learn and understand and realize that no matter where we are, no matter what's going on in our life, no matter the fears and the troubles, the Lord is with us. One more verse and then we're done. Psalm 37 again. Let's go back to Psalm 37, the don't worry, be happy psalm. Psalm 37, look at verse 25. This is a verse for me. Psalm 37:25. I have been young and now am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Boy, we serve a tremendous God. We serve a great God. The Lord was there helping the disciples there in Matthew 14 when they had a need. And the Lord is with us, helping us when we have a need also. So what do you got to fear about? Nothing. You don't have to fear about anything. You don't have to worry about anything. The Lord will be with us. He'll be with us during that tranquil time that we have. The Lord will be with us during our troubled time and our time of temptation. He'll be with us. He sees our tears and he's just with us all the time. He's a good God. Love him, serve him, obey him, and realize what a wonderful God that we have. Let's pray. Father, thank you again that we could gather together tonight. We thank you, Lord, again for the passages that we looked at. We just pray that you would continue to work in our lives and hearts. Lord, we pray that you would, there may be somebody tonight that is very fearful about something or several things. And so, Lord, we pray, I pray, that you would help that individual.